Good morning. It's good to see all of you here today. I know we have a lot of folks, traveling folks that are gone, but you're here and we're glad that you're here. And if you're visiting with us, we're certainly glad that you have chosen to be with us today here at Cary. One thing I want to say to our young parents before I get into my sermon, please stop apologizing to me. And I say that for this. Many times young parents will come up to me and say, I'm so sorry my child was loud today, or I'm so sorry my child was crying. You don't need to apologize because you're here and you're teaching that child why you're here. And we're glad that you're here. So you keep fighting in the pews. We understand sometimes you have to take them out and give them an attitude adjustment, and that's okay. But we want you to know that we're glad that you're here and we're glad that you're doing what you're doing. It's not easy being a young parent. We know there's many hours and nights awake, but we're glad that you're here and you keep on doing what you're doing, and we're glad that we can assist you in that. And if somebody gives you the stink eye, as we like to say, then you tell them, why don't you come over here and help me do it better, right? I also have something else to confess, because I have to learn a new skill in the pulpit now, because I had to go buy these things called readers. And I'm still learning how to use these things, because I found as I was reading, I couldn't see words or I was forgetting words. So now I've had to kind of turn that corner and say, yep, I'm getting to the point where I need these. So be patient with me as I have to use these things this morning. Life sometimes can be difficult. Have you ever felt like this? I think we can all say at one point in our life that we have felt exactly the way this poor fella feels. When it rains, it pours, right? Shakespeare says, when calamities come, it doesn't come in spies, it comes in battalions. And sometimes life can throw us difficult situations, things that we often struggle with, things that beat us down, that knock us to our knees. But this morning, I want to tell you there's courage and there's hope. Because the one good thing about the Bible is that it gives us hope. Hope says, hang on, because that pain is going to end. And eventually it will come to an end. It doesn't mean that it's not going to be difficult, and it doesn't mean that it's not going to be hard. But this morning I want us to talk about why you should keep going when we feel like giving up. And many times in life, if you feel like this young fellow, you just said, that's it, I'm done, I quit. And it's okay, because sometimes life can beat us down like that. But if you've ever read the book of Job, you learn of an individual who went through some very difficult times. Not only at the point in which he learned that he had lost basically all of his livestock, shortly after that he learned that he had lost his children. And to top it all off, and sometimes we want to give Job's wife a difficult time, to top it all off, as he's struggling with the concept of losing everything he had, but more importantly, losing his children, losing his family, in that his wife is struggling with her faith and who she believes God is, and she said, you know what, just forget it. Just curse him. Curse him and die, because he's bringing you nothing but pain and bringing you nothing but misery. If you've been there, I don't want you to raise your hand, because I'm pretty sure that everyone in this room at some point in their life has struggled with something difficult, or maybe perhaps even at this very moment, you're struggling with something in your life in which you're questioning who you are and why you serve God. And I want you to know, as human beings, that's okay, because that's what it means to be a human sometimes, because we face those calamities, we face those situations, and when we think we've gotten just to the top of that peak of where we can see the view, sometimes it feels like we're coming down the backside again. But nowhere in the Bible do I ever read of anyone being promised a life without pain, without sorrow, without struggles. Anywhere in the Bible do we read that. But the Bible does tell us, in relation to those things in which we struggle with, that if we hang on, there's something much better waiting for us, as the Hebrew writer said. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, he said, we've got to hold on, because we have to run this race. We've got to lay aside these things that so easily enslave us and beset us, to put aside that weight and that sin, and to run the race with endurance that God has given us to run. Because when we run the race, brethren, you can't sprint, because you will wear yourself out. You've got to run a slow, steady race. That's called life. And sometimes we do want to give up. But when you think about Job didn't give up. He struggled sometimes, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. He still worshiped God. He hung on to his faith, though sometimes he questioned it, but he never sinned against his God. And sometimes in the face of calamity, it's easy for us to do that. And in light of his determination, we too should be like Job, to keep on carrying on. So much so, sometimes even in our prayers, when we're struggling with the concept of dealing with situations in life and the things in which we're facing, we sometimes bow our heads and we pray to God and we ask Him questions perhaps we wouldn't want anybody else to hear. Sometimes we ask God, why are these things besetting me? Sometimes we ask God, why are these things happening to me, or why am I going through this particular situation? And maybe sometimes we even point the finger and blame Him. But one of the things that we can take away from Job and understanding why we should keep going is because the blessings become twofold when we reach the glory of heaven. The Bible tells us to be faithful even to the point of death, Revelation 2 and verse 10, that those blessings are going to be given to us. Jesus gives us that promise of comfort in John 14 verses 1 through 3. When He tells us concerning those things that He's going to prepare that place for us, but that we can come to Him with the heavy burdens of life when we're struggling, and Jesus said, put it on me, I'll take care of it. Doesn't mean we don't have to deal with the things in this life, but Jesus said there's something better that you're waiting for. Something better that you're going to receive that out far lives anything that you'll experience while you're here on earth. There's no pain that you're going to go through on this earth that will not be worth the glories of heaven. I can promise you that. And that's something that we have to hang on to in this life. So when we feel like giving up, you have to remember that you can't win if you quit. If you stop now, if you throw in the towel, if you say, I'm done, I don't want to do this anymore, then you're allowing the devil to get a foothold. And that's exactly what he wants. He wants you to doubt who God is. So much so, if you look here in Job chapter 3 and verse 4 in relation to, or in Job chapter 3 and verse 20, what he's saying here, what Job says is, why are all of these things happening to me? Why is the light given to him who is in mystery and life to the bitter soul, who long for death but it doesn't come? Lord, just please end this pain and misery for me. I'm not doubting you, but what I'm asking is, why don't you just end this so I don't have to struggle? Who long for death but it doesn't come, he says, who rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave, and why is light given to a man whose way is hidden and whom God has hedged it in? Why are these things coming and encompassing me, God? He says, for my sighing comes before I eat, my groanings pour out like water. Lord, I'm laying all these things at your feet. You could call this Job's lament, is what you can call it. This is Job basically laying all of his cares and concerns and his woes and his sorrow at the feet of who God is. But one of the things we have to understand is what Job knew well, is that it's important to overcome. And if we overcome, then we understand that we should seek victory rather than an explanation. Because as human beings, sometimes we want everything explained to us when things happen. But sometimes in relation to that, when we don't realize the blessings we have in life, and Brother Ozzie even mentioned it in his prayer, Lord, thank you for these things that we struggle with sometimes that help us to see your glory. Because when we struggle, it helps us to see who God really is in our life. It helps us to appreciate it that much more. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, when we ask why, it's because you can't win if you quit. And again, the Hebrew writer tells us to lay aside those things that entangle us, that strangle us or pull us down in this life, that we've got to put those things aside. You consider Nehemiah. The task to finish the wall in Jerusalem was rebuilt after captivity. They're coming out of this concept of being beaten down and in prison and going through all of these different struggles, and they ask permission, please, let us just rebuild the wall to the city. So that's fine. Take all the people you need to do that. And so at some point, and at some time during the difficulty of rebuilding this wall, sometimes you have individuals who are hammering away and individuals who are standing there with swords and spears to guard against those that are trying to attack them. And in Nehemiah 4:6, it gives us that point in which we understand in life that it says they had a mind to work, that they did not quit even in storms of adversity. And that's what we have to understand sometimes. At times half worked, at times half were holding on and pushing off the enemies that were pounding in around them. Because see, if you quit, then others can't depend on you. And realize it and understand this, believe it or not, when you're going through a difficulty, if you're the one that the person across the pew views as the strong Christian in their faith, they're looking to you to see how you handle adversity, because they say, if they can do it, then I can do it. They're looking for that example, right? They're looking for the older Christian woman or the older Christian man who has faced adversity in their life, and they're looking to them for the example when they see them struggling. You suppose Noah's family ever exasperated during the ark's construction? You think Noah's family ever looked at him and said, "What are you doing this for? Why are you going through all of this trouble? It's never rained before. We've never experienced these things that you're talking about." Noah could not stop in the face of hardship and unconcern. And even though nobody necessarily understood what he was doing, he knew his ultimate task was to please God. You suppose Noah or Moses was ever the focal point in the wilderness? When everybody else was complaining around him and griping and whining, and they were focusing upon him and blaming him for their troubles and their sorrows and their woes, and why don't we have all of the good things that we had back in captivity? When Moses was leading them across the Red Sea, when God was helping them in that time of difficulty, as Moses stood there and basically told them to be quiet and listen and look and understand and see the salvation which he's going to show you today, Exodus 14 and verse 13. Moses said, pay attention. Look at what God's going to give you. Some may be weaker looking at your reaction. You always said trust in God, right? Now other people are looking at you to do exactly that. They're looking to see how much you trust during this difficult time. And when you think about the things that Job went through, sometimes he struggled in his trust. So much to the point of his lament here, he's going to begin to question God. But what's interesting is the conversation that Job and God have. Almost to the point that God is actually questioning Job to answer his questions because he wants to see if he truly understands who God is and why God is blessing us every day. There's the illustration of two young men who went to war together in World War I. And it was a horrible battle. Just about everybody on the side of the good guys had been slain. And as they were standing in the trenches, he was looking for his buddy. He asked his captain for permission, "Please let me go out. Let me go out and look for him." He said, "There's no way I can let you go out because everybody else has died. We have almost no one left. And if I let you go out there, you're going to be killed like the rest of them." So he disobeyed the order and he got out of the trenches and he went for that individual anyway. And as he brought him back, this limp life body, his lieutenant said, "See, I told you it was a waste of time." To which his buddy said, "Yeah, but when I got there," he said, "I knew you'd come." He didn't quit. Even though perhaps he understood the situation, he didn't give up. And we're never going to win if we quit. And sometimes other people depend on our faith to see how strong we are. So you see, we have to remember that pain is a difficult thing. When I was preaching in Alabama, I got a call one day. And there was a man on the other end that I did not know. And I'd only briefly met his wife a few times. And he said, "Could you please drive to Birmingham to the cancer hospital?" I said, "Absolutely." He said, "You don't know me, but my name is Robert Brown. And you met my wife a few times. She came to Bible class there on Wednesday nights. And she really needs to talk to you." I said, "Sure." And so we drove over and we walked into the room in Birmingham. He had tears in his face, but she was stoic. She almost had a smile on her face. And they began to explain to us that she had stage 4 melanoma cancer, which had got into her liver. And they'd only given her a matter of months to live. And with that, he was completely struggling with this concept of what she had accepted. But in that moment of pain and agony, he was now depending on her for her strength and her faith. And with that, he was restored back to the church because of her faith. Because she stayed strong and he was depending on her in that moment, it helped him to see who God really was and why he needed him. Sometimes in difficult times, when we can look to others who are struggling, that help us to say, "You know what, I really don't have it that bad after all. Maybe it's not that hard after all." One of the things we also understand is that pain is a blessing in disguise. It makes us miserable, yet we have to be thankful for it. You don't like it, but it serves a purpose. Sometimes we have to fight it, but we have to thank God for it. As much as we dislike it, and as much as that pain displeases us, more than likely, brethren, it's teaching us something in our life. Something of which we probably won't even understand until later in life. But that pain is going to be a blessing in disguise. And we've got to learn of its blessings because we can't imagine life without it. There's a town in England called Pembury, Kent. And there's a young boy there who cannot feel pain. He has a malady that is called ganglioneuropathy, which means he feels no pain at all. At the age of 9 months old, he almost gouged his left eye out. His legs are completely burnt, almost down to where the point he's completely scarred from his hips down to his feet, because at one point when he was 2 years old, he climbed on top of a hot stove. His father said, "We've been to the emergency room more times than we can count." And he said, "I never knew how much of a blessing pain would be." You see, we need that pain to realize and recognize the situation that we're in, because sometimes pain makes us wake up. There's a thing that was written that I ran across years ago from an unknown writer. It said, "I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked God for health that I might do greater things, and I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for the power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life, and I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I'd hoped for. And almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed." Whatever life throws at you, brethren, determined to make it work for you. Sometimes in our pain and agony, we want to question God, and we do that sometimes, but instead of bitterness, we have to cultivate patience and strength just as Job did. Remember, the taller the trees, the greater the winds that beat upon it, and the stronger the roots are, because those roots are planted firmly in the ground. Our roots are planted firmly in our faith and who God is, and firmly in His Word, because that's where our strength comes from. You remember individuals in the Bible that struggled? You think about Joseph and the difficult things that he went through. You think about the thorn in Paul's flesh. We don't know what it is. Many believe that it was sometimes his faith faltering and struggling with who he was and what he was having to go through. I don't know. But when you think about the calamities that befell Paul and the things in which he struggled, even he sometimes questioned God, did he not? "Lord, please take this thorn away from me. Why is this before me?" But finally, Paul realized that God's grace was sufficient for him, and it was all that he needed. But you also think about men like Jesus, and you think about the great Savior, and when he was on the cross of Calvary and the pain that he was going through, when he could have called 10,000 angels, as we sang earlier. But what did he do? He bore the pain, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In his moment of weakness, in his moment of seeing who he was as a man, when he struggled with that whole concept, even in that, he knew his pain was for a specific purpose, and that was to relieve the sins and take away the sins of mankind. And in that, we find strength, but we also have to realize there's a better day coming. You look at Job chapter 38, you begin to see the conversation that Job is now going to have with God, and Job is going to get the audience that he requested. Job wanted to talk to God. He wanted this so-called face-to-face meeting with Him. But it's interesting, as this conversation begins to unfold, the questions that God is now going to ask Job in return to the questions that Job has been asking God. In verse 38 it said, "And then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man and brace yourself.' God said, 'You better be ready for the answer that you're asking me.' He said, 'I will question you and you're going to answer me.'" But now, verse 4 through 7, God asked him 5 questions that he's looking for an answer, of which Job is going to pass the test because he answers none. "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurement? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning star sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" And when you look at Job 38, verses 4 through 7 here, and although we weren't present, one of the things we understand is that the creation was given by God, and we have faith because of the creation created by God through the Word of God. Do we not? And God is asking Job some hypothetical questions here. Job, you have faith in all of the things around you. Why are you now questioning the troubles that you're going through? If you know I laid the foundations of the earth, if you know I created everything, and then he goes into this diatribe of all the natural things that he created for man, if you know I did all of these things, why are you questioning why you're going through this? He doesn't answer his ailments of righteousness. He doesn't give him a determination of why he's going through these struggles, but he said, you have faith in everything else that I've done, why don't you have faith in this? You see, sometimes the things that we go through, the struggles that befall us, that we question, sometimes they're for our betterment. Sometimes they help us to see who we really are, and sometimes they determine how strong our faith is. Because one of the things we have to remember is, brethren, there's a better day coming. Again, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. Right? Jesus said, bring it to me, lay it at my feet. James 5:11, James said, we count them blessed who endure. Job prayed for a better day. He endured afflictions and trials because he knew what the end was going to be. There was a preacher who visited with a widow lady, and he found her crying, and she wasn't coping very well with the loss of her husband. Understandable. And she was working on this beautiful piece of embroidery. And he picked it up and he turned it over, and there was threads and it was all knotted. And he said, this is the ugliest embroidery I've ever seen. She said, turn it over. You're looking at the wrong side. He said, that's exactly right. Just like you, God is weaving a beautiful piece of tapestry and you're looking at the wrong side. Sometimes we have to understand, as Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 18, these sufferings cannot be compared with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. Nothing in this life is going to compare with our retirement plan. Nothing in this life is going to compare with the struggles that we face here of that is waiting for us on the other side. Again, Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You have me. You have God. You have that you can rely on. And when you look at Job chapter 40, specifically in the first three or four verses, when you look at Job's response to God, Job finally gets it. He said, then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? What can I say, Lord? I lay my hand over my mouth once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. Job said, I don't have anything that I can answer to you that would suffice in what you've done for me. It's interesting, again, as you read through the entire book of Job and all of the things and struggles that he goes through, God never tells him why he chose Job and why he went through those things. The devil understood it. He said, if you want somebody who's righteous, if you want somebody who's faithful, have you considered my servant Job? You see, because he knew the strength of Job. And even as he struggled during these difficult times and all of these difficult things, we have to remember that we cannot give up. Don't ever, ever give up. Because when you think about this picture, and I love this picture, that frog was determined that he wasn't going to die that day. Sometimes we have to be just as determined, don't we? Sometimes we have to know that we can get through just one more day and that we can survive one more day. So why should you keep going when you feel like giving up? Because you can't win if you quit. You can't win if you quit. You also shouldn't give up because others are depending on you. That pain that you're going through is a blessing. You just don't realize it yet. And to remember that there's something far greater waiting for us on that great day when we stand before God and God says, I told you it was worth it. I told you it was worth it. Difficult roads often lead to beautiful destinations. And that's exactly what life is. And when we remember that and when we understand who's walking with us, God's not behind us pushing us. He's not standing in front of us. God is walking with us every step of the way. Remember the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's the word of God that's going to lead me to exactly where I need to go. But I've just got to have faith and courage and determination to know what God is telling me is true. And when we realize that, Job finally had his wish and got his answer. And in the end, it said that God doubled all of his blessings. He got all of those things back. I'm not saying if you struggle through this life that in the end of it, you're going to receive all of this money and all of this grandeur. But what I'm telling you is that your blessings will be doubled as you stand before God and he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well done. And finally, we'll realize why that Christian life is called a marathon and why we have to endure it. Because sometimes, brethren, it wears you slap out. And sometimes you want to quit halfway through it and just pull over and call it quits, but you can't because the devil's waiting. He's waiting for you to call it quits. So if you're struggling in life today, and I know we probably have some here, I know perhaps we even have some here who are questioning why they're going through these difficulties. But I can tell you the answer is found in God's Word and that you find comfort in what He's given you. But also in the comfort that we have what's called a Christian family. That we can lean upon each other even through the difficult times, that we're here to help each other out. That's why Galatians 6 tells us to bear the burdens of each other, to lift each other up, to be propped up and lean against each other is what it says. And sometimes we have to do that. So if you're struggling, just know you're not alone. We want you to know that we're here to help you, to guide you through it, to let you lean upon us, to carry that burden for a while. But most importantly, to know that you're loved no matter what you're going through. And today, if you're struggling with the concept of your faith, even perhaps like Job and what you're going through and you're questioning God, that's the human side. But remember, God always keeps His promises, and He told you there's something far better and far greater that's waiting for you. So if you need encouragement, if you need forgiveness, if we can help you in any way with that, we certainly want to do that today. But if you're here this morning, you've never experienced the love of God through being added to the Lord's church and all the blessings that come with that, we want to tell you exactly what you must do to do that as well. Because we don't ever want to leave that out. People need to know how they become a member of the greatest family ever created. People need to understand why Jesus did what they did for them because of His love for us, right? Romans 5:8. God gave His love through us through the cross of Calvary. So this morning, if you've never experienced that, we want you to do that, to take that step. First, believing in what the Word says after hearing it. And if you believe it, then you're ready to repent, to make that confession that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and finally submit to baptism, as it says in Acts 2:38, to have all of your sins washed away. So if we can help you in that in any way, if you need encouragement, if you want to be lifted up and strengthened, if you're struggling, please let us know as your family, as together we stand and as we sing.